Okay, one Lamed Ches from Midbeis, 6 lines in the top of the page, 38b1 in the Hebrew English Gemaras. Okay, well, we have to go back for a second. The Belazar ben Rav Shimon argued on his father. The Belazar ben Rav Shimon said, though, following statement, any mitzvahs the Jews were commanded before they came into the land of Eretz Yisrael, meaning before Eretz Yisrael proper, so they have to keep in Eretz Yisrael and out of Eretz Yisrael. Any mitzvah they were commanded in Eretz Yisrael, only in Eretz Yisrael, except, he says, two mitzvahs. Chutz min Shemitah, Shemitah's Kshafim, Shemitah of money, and sending away the Avodim during Yovel. That those, he says, even though they were commanded after the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep them in and out of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon said. His father disagreed, and Rav Shimon says that Bal Chodosh and Kalayim and that, but he argues on his father. So the Gemara is saying like this: According to Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon, Shmitas Ksafim and sending away Avadim applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And he says these are an exception to the rule. Okay? But the Gemara is going to ask now, these have nothing to do with the land. We already learned the Mishnah before. The Mishnah before said, any mitzvah that's not connected to the land is an obligation on the person, is in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz, is in both places. So why does Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon, he's not wrong in his din, but he's just saying this is an exception to the rule that really it should only be in Eretz Yisrael. But these are exceptions to the rule. They ask, why are these exceptions to the rule? As the Gemara says, Shashmatas Ksafim, the Gemara asks, again, the last word of 6 lines in the top, Hashmatas Ksafim Cheves HaGufu. This is a personal obligation. This obligation is on the body of the person. What Shmita Ksafim? That if you lend somebody money, and the year of Shemitah comes, you're not allowed to collect the debt. So what does this have to do with the land? It's a personal thing. I lend you money. Shemitah comes, I can't ask you for the money anymore.
But if that price only Shemitah for the land?
One second. So Gemara answers, Leinitzracha, this din only applies, look at the Tanya, what we learned in the different Braisa. It says in the Braisa as follows, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said, it says in the Pasuk, V'zed Dvar HaShemitah, this is the law of Shemitah, Shamait. Okay? It says in relinquish. Okay? It says, what does the Torah say? When it comes Shemitah, you have to relinquish. You mean you have to give up all debts. But the Torah says the word Shemitah twice. V'zed Dvar HaShemitah, Shamait. What does that mean? He says, B'shnei mit Shemitah Zakosim Medavid. The Torah is speaking about two types of Shemitah. Acha Shemitah Karka, one is the Shemitah of land, v'acha Shemitah Ksofim, and one is the Shemitah of Ksofim, of money. Meaning, what does Rabbi said the Torah teaches us? Bizman Shata Meshamit Karka, when you have a din of letting the land empty, meaning you basically give up your ownership during Shemitah. Okay, like we learned. In Shemitah, it's not your land. You're not allowed to plow it. You're not allowed to work in it. Everything that grows there is free for all. So then, in a time when you're Meshamet Karka, Meshamet Ksofim, so then you have to relinquish monies that are owed to you. Bizman Shiyata Meshamet Karka. But in a time when you don't have Shemitah, Eata Meshamet Ksofim, you don't have to give up Ksofim. That means, according to Rebbe, the Torah likens Shemitah of land, that was the point you said, Shemitah of land to Shemitah of money. Mm-hmm. Okay? That means that mitzvah wasn't there before the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael. In the desert, there was no din of Shemitah. The sabbatical year didn't exist because it didn't grow anything. There was a desert. Okay? Yet it says that if the din of Shemitah land applies, then the Shemitah money applies. So therefore, according to Rebbe, the Jews did not have the mitzvah of Shemitah before going into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar says that this is an exception to the rule, and therefore it applies outside of Eretz Yisrael too. So right away the Gemara asks, 1 minute, let's do the reverse. The aim of Bama, why don't we say something else? Why are we talking in time? Why are you talking time-wise that when you have you come into Eretz Yisrael? That's when the law of Shemitah money apply. Say it a different place. You use place, don't time. Meaning, B'malkim shata mishamet karka. Maybe the Torah is telling us the following then. In a place where you do Shemitah of land, that's where you do the Shemitah of money. But if you don't do Shemitah of the land, i.e. outside of Eretz Yisrael, maybe ein ato mishamet ksof. The Gemara says very simple. You have in one pasuk, the Torah speaks about two Shemitahs. Okay, there's one din of Shemitah that the seventh year you relinquish ownership of the land. Okay? And the Torah in the same pasuk speaks about debts. That if somebody owes you money and it comes the sabbatical year, you don't have to do it. You're not allowed to collect the debt. In other words, Shemitah is a year of relinquishing, giving up ownership. If it's land, you give up the land. Meaning, you don't lose ownership, but you can't do anything for that year. It's not yours. And if somebody owes you money, you don't have to pay back, you're not allowed to collect the debt. Okay? So Gemara says, how do you know that's what it means? Maybe it means something else. That in the place where you have Shemitah of land, that's where you have the law of Shemitah of money. But in a place where you don't have Shemitah of land, maybe you don't have Shemitah of money either. Right? We know one thing. The Torah is likening the Shemitah of land to the Shemitah of money. Okay? So the Gemara is, why are you speaking about time? That means, before the Jews went into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have Shemitah of the land, so they didn't have Shemitah of money. How do you know that's what the Pasuk means? Maybe the Torah is likening the two together in a different way. In Eretz Yisrael, where the laws of Shemitah apply, that's where you're not allowed to collect the debt either. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no din Shemitah. In America, there's no din of Shemitah. So then maybe you could collect the debt. Maybe that's what it means. So how does Rabbi Lozer know to say that Shemitah of money applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael? So he says, Talmud Leimer, the Gemara answers like this. Because it says, Ki kara Shemitah Lashem, that you should call a Shemitah Lashem is an additional pasuk, teaching us Mikoma came even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, therefore the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon said, any mitzvah the Jews were given before they came to Israel, they had to keep outside of Israel. Any mitzvah they were given only when they came to Eretz Yisrael, then you only keep it in Eretz Yisrael. Except Shemitah of money, that they were given that when they entered Eretz Yisrael, but you need to keep it outside of Eretz Yisrael too. Why? Because it says in the same passage, we liken both together. So the Gemara says, how do you know we're likening in time? Why don't we liken it in place? That where does Shemitah of money apply? Only where you have Shemitah of land, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. But in outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no din of Shemitah. You could work on a field in America all 7 years. So maybe the law of Shemitah of money, that you have to give up the debt, maybe that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says no, because it's a pasuk that says, Ze kikara Shemitah Lashem, that you have to call Shemitah Lashem anywhere. So therefore the din is, and this is the halacha, that Shemitah of money applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. But Shemitah of money is rabbinic.
Why don't we think Shemitah of Hashem Mikomakom? Why don't we think this Paskikar Shemitah of Hashem Mikomakom means also Shemitah of the land Mikomakom even in America?
No, because over there it says Kisavei Alaretz. So you're talking about. And it says, you're not allowed to work in the field. Over there, sadcha, as we'll soon learn by a different din, it means only your field in Eretz Yisrael. The bizman hazeh, it's midrabanan. It's possible that Shemitah, you see, there's a lot of different things. You have Shemitah in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? That Shemitah of money, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, was biblical. Nowadays we don't have the Beis Hamikdash and all those things, and Shemitah is also not the same thing. What it, so then the Shemitah of money, that's why Hillel was able to make a prosbul. Because it's only rabbinic anyway. So Hillel said, if you give over the debts to the courts, then they're collectible. He only did it when Shemitah was midrabanan. So
when we said, Rebbe said, we're comparing the two Shemitah together, does that mean there are others who disagree?
No, it doesn't seem like people disagree with it. It's not mashmal like that. Rebbe Yemer.
So it's always related to each other.
Yeah.
This Shemitah money, that way, it relates the money that comes from the property only, or other...
No, not money that comes from the property. If I lend you money, as soon as the sabbatical year comes, you don't have to pay me.
So how do they make it to keep going?
There's a rabbinic loophole.
Right.
Hillel came and said, you can't collect a private debt.
Like here.
But if I give, let's say you owe me $1,000, right? So it's a private debt. So therefore I can't collect it. Okay? But if I give it over to Beis Din, then it's a court debt. And a court debt you have to pay back.
What do you mean?
Because it's not private anymore.
You're going by the court to apply to get the money back?
No, you make a prosbul.
One second. You mean at the seventh year, you give it to the court?
Right.
Give it right away.
The
paper,
the
note.
Yeah,
they
donate it to the court.
Right,
donate it? They donate it to court?
No, you don't donate it to court. You're basically giving it over to the court.
The court is going to give it to the owner?
The court, yeah. The court allow. Therefore, the court says you can collect it.
So you appoint the court.
No fee. So you do. You do it by
Hataris
Nedarim.
What's the difference? You already get back.
But it's a lot of work for the court. Do you have to pay a fee?
No, why? Of course they're not charging.
You're handing over your debt to the court.
Look, it sounds like this. Shemitah's ksafim, the concept of Shemitah, that you can't collect the debt. No hagas bizmanazah midivri seifim, ba'aretz ubuchutz laretz. Okay? That's what the Gemara's Mishnah says in Gittin. The Chachamim saw that people stopped lending money to each other, because who wants to lend $1,000 and not get it back? And the Torah says, I'm warning you, don't be evil and don't lend, don't stop lending money. So what happens? Amdo v'tiknu peruzbol. It was Hillel, but the Torah doesn't say it was Hillel. Haynu, sheyimsir amalvas chevi lebezdin. He gives over his debt to the court, even though he's not giving over the IOU note. He's not giving, here you guys collected that. He just says, I'm giving it to you. So therefore, it's considered as if he gave it to the court. And you're telling the court, you collected that for me. And it says, lo yigeis esriyehu. The pasuk says, you cannot demand it from your friend. But the courts could. Okay? So therefore, the prosbul is good. Then the Alter Rebbe says, nowadays a lot of people don't do it. And then he says, the time of prosbul at the end of the 6th year, some people say you should do it at the end of the 7th year, whatever, either one, doesn't matter. So but that, bottom line is, that's the concept of Shemitah's Ksafim. So the Peral, the Gemara says, that din applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, even though that mitzvah was told to the Jews once they came into Eretz Yisrael. That was the first exception. The second exception of Elazar Rav Shimon said was Shiluach Avodim. That sending away slaves applies also in the Yovel year. Okay? I mean, and in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So he says, why does he make that as an exception? It's again, Chavis Aguf. It's a mitzvah on the person. And we learned in the Mishnah before, any mitzvah on the person, there's no difference Eretz Yisrael or not Eretz Yisrael. So why does he say this is an exceptional case that applies in Chutz La'aretz, right? It anyway applies in Chutz La'aretz because it's a mitzvah on the person to send away your slaves. So Gemara said like this, I would think like this, because the Torah says, this is, by the way, the famous thing on the Liberty Bell, proclaim liberty throughout the land. Is this pasuk in Chumash? And the Torah says, Yevil hi, it's Yevil. So it says, where does the Torah say to do it? Ba'aretz. Where do you proclaim liberty? That the slaves go free?
Yeah,
it says Ba'aretz, in the land. So south, I would think, Ba'aretz, in B'chutz La'aretz Slay, that only in Eretz Yisrael, you have this proclaimed liberty, meaning the slaves go free, but not in the outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Talmud Lema, the Torah says, Yoivel he. The Torah afterwards says another statement.
What page are we on here?
38b2.
Okay.
38b2. First column. Okay? That it's Yoivel, and therefore it applies anywhere. So the Gemara says, well, so why does it say Ba'aretz? If it applies everywhere, so the Torah should say, across and Dorad. Proclaim liberty. Why does the Torah say Ba'aretz in the land, which means only Eretz Yisrael? So it says like this, Bizman Shadra Neig Ba'aretz, meaning, when the din of Yevil applied in Eretz Yisrael, then it applies in Chutz La'aretz. But Ein Dorad Neig Ba'aretz, when there's no Yevil in Eretz Yisrael, we'll soon learn why, Ein Neig Ba'chutz La'aretz. I would think it doesn't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the din is that it does. Okay? But when? Only when the din of Yevil applied in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon is saying. Yevil applies outside of Eretz Yisrael also. Because it says Yevil he. Why does it say Ba'aretz? It means like this. When there's a din of Yevil in Eretz Yisrael, meaning when the Torah says, Kol Yeshve Ha'olah, when all the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, then the din of Yevil applies. When a lot of Jews left Eretz Yisrael,
majority.
A lot of Jews left Eretz Yisrael, so then the din of Yevil doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. So then it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz either. So like today, there's no Yevil outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is, even in Eretz Yisrael, there's no din of Yevil.
Why did they apply it this way?
Huh?
Why did they apply it this way, just in the word?
Rather than...
Well, is this an oral tradition from Sinai? Was this a rabbinical decision?
No, but the Torah says, and then the Patsik says, L'chol Yeshveha, for all its inhabitants. Now what is the Torah adding for all its inhabitants? What would I think, only half?
I would think that...
So the Torah, no, the Gemara learns what the Torah means, Torah Shabbat Beis says, what does the Patsik mean? That's only when everybody's in the land. Kol Yeshve'ala. But if there's a lot of Jews that left, the din of Yevil doesn't apply. And that's what he said in the time, even during the Beis HaMikdash, the din of Yevil didn't apply. At the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, a lot of Jews already were not in Eretz Yisrael.
My question is, though, if it says about Ba'aretz, though,
yeah,
it's only logical to assume that the way they would define that as it's only applicable in the land, as you said.
Yeah, but then the Torah has another word, Yevil he, which is an additional word, which it includes. What does that include? Not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even outside of Eretz Yisrael. But what, so why does it say Ba'aretz?
Right.
It teaches us that when Yevil exists in Israel, then it exists outside of Israel.
Why don't you just say Yevil in the land only? In other words,
because the Torah is teaching us that even outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Yevil did apply. That means if a Jew owned slaves in Germany during the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, when Yevil applied, if they owned slaves, they had to free them. By the way, not Goyish slaves. It means a Jewish slave that stayed, you know, after they were pierced. Right.
I just wanted to know how they came to that.
That's what Torah Shabbat Peh works.
It is a
Hashem said to Moshe at Har Sinai, and that's what he did.
Now he's telling you that.
Given over the debt to
Bezdin.
Is it customary to do it from inception of the law at all?
Or no.
To happen,
you have to do it either at the beginning of Shemitah or at the end of Shemitah, and lately we do it both times.
We did this 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, a few years ago, whatever.
Is the start of data with Shemitah, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
When is it? Is that specific?
No, but I'm saying which year was Shemitah year?
2 years ago.
Two years ago. Yeah.
So if something started 5 years prior that Shemitah.
You can collect a loan until the Shemitah year.
And then after that, unless this person wants to pay.
Not anymore. Today they're right. Even if you don't make a prosby, you can collect the debts. Today. But, yeah, technically in that law, in biblical law, okay, the way it was.
1 year before, even you got only 1 year.
To pay it up. Or to collect it.
Collect
it. Right.
It goes by the 7th year.
Right. So not 7 years from the time of the loan.
Right.
No, step, whatever.
So you cannot make long-term loans during...
You could. That's the whole Gemara in Makis and the different places about if a person says, I'm an Ashley Tishmet Shmita, whatever it is.
Make a shtar? If you make a shtar, it's different?
It depends how the shtar is worded. There's a lot in the Gemara about that. It's not to know.
You could make an agreement saying that Shmita won't apply to this.
You can't make a condition that Shmita won't apply because you can't make a condition against the Torah.
But can you put in the, can you stipulate that?
If you make it for X Shmita, amount of years, then you could.
That it'll start up again.
No. You could do it different ways that it should work. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Now we're going back to what we said before. Remember there was Chodosh, and there's Arla, and the Kalayim, right? The new grains you can't eat until the second day of Pesach. Arla is the first 3 years of the tree's fruit. Kalayim is a mixture of all different species together. So there's a Mishnah that says like this. Tanan Hassan, we learned that a Mishnah over there says like this. Chodosh, Asim, and Atera, B'chol Makim. Chodosh, the new grain, is forbidden anywhere, biblically, even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Arla, the din of Arla, the first 3 years, is halacha, is forbidden everywhere, not from the Torah, but halacha. The Gemara is going to explain what halacha means. Kalayim, meaning kalayim of vineyard and wheat, that we learned you can't do it, that is medivrei sefer. Okay? So the Gemara says three categories. Chadash, that means a new grain, until the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, that applies biblically, in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, biblically. Arla is halacha. We don't know what halacha means. Kalayim, vineyard and grapes, outside of Eretz Yisrael is rabbinic. Okay? So the Gemara says, my halacha. What does halacha mean? I mean, what does the word halacha mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. It means Hilchas Medina. Medina means it was an accepted custom by people outside of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning it wasn't biblical. It was just accepted by tradition. People accepted that the din of Arla, the first 3 years, no fruit, applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
Ula Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Ula says the name of Rabbi Yechanan. It means no. It means Halacha L'Meshe Mesinai. Halacha L'Meshe Mesinai. Okay? Now, what does that mean? It's a big argument in Rishenim, but many Rishenim hold. Halacha Meshe Messina, by the way, means, is not mentioned in the Chumash, but is biblical. Halacha Meshe Messina means, Hashem gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai with the strictness of a biblical mitzvah.
Oral
Torah is not mentioned in the Chumash. That means, Orla in the Chumash is mentioned clearly about Eretz Yisrael. How do we know Arla plows outside of Eretz Yisrael? So according to the second opinion, it's Halacha Meshe Mesinai, Hashem said it to Meshe Har Sinai, but it's biblical. By the way, there's a lot of things that the Gemara says is Halacha Meshe Mesinai that have the biblical strength. In other words, it can invalidate the mitzvah. To give you an example, tefillin, I mean, that's the first example that comes to mind. There's zillions of them, but tefillin, the Torah says, time for a sign on your hand. Right? Mm-hmm. Who, what, when, where? What? Okay. That tefillin have to be perfectly square? Doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash has to be biblically square. How do we know it has to be biblically square? Halacha Meshe Mesinai. The straps, believe it or not, need to be black on the outside. Where do we learn that straps of tefillin have to be black? Halacha Meshe Mesinai. Where do we learn that the boxes have to be black? Nowhere. It just makes it look nicer. In other words, that no, I'm saying that's also Allah Mishmasina. That the straps, it's not an interesting din. The straps is more important to be black than the boxes.
So the box could be burgundy.
Well, not nowadays, no.
Who picked black?
God says black is beautiful. He's not a racist.
I understand that. Why would he say black? Why not red, green, blue, yellow?
Because Kabbalistically, black has a certain concept. No.
Modest?
It's just a concept. Tchelus is blue. Tchelus is blue.
Matches the stripes on your talis.
Based on what you said today, could a person actually wear red boxes?
No.
What happened?
Because now it became an accepted meaning Yisrael Tari. You can't change it. No, I'm just saying, I'm just giving this example to what Halacha Meshem Asina was not. Okay, Amel Ula Rav Yehuda. So Ula, who said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, it's Halacha Meshem Asinai, says to Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmuel, that is tradition. Right? Said in like this. According to me, it makes sense. That I say that it has to be outside of Eretz. That's why we distinguish in the Mishnah between Safek Arla and Safek Kalayim. Okay? What does the Mishnah in a different place says? The Tanan, Safek Arla Ba'aretz, doubtful Arla in Eretz Yisrael is Asur. In Eretz Yisrael, remember we learned, doubtful Arla in Israel is forbidden. Because it's a biblical doubt. Right? Now, Besuria in Syria, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's mut, doubt. And not only that, Bechutz Laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning even outside of Syria, because it was so close to proximity of Israel, and a lot of Jews lived in Syria at that time, they gave Syria a partial status of Israel.
Do we own Syria
and what's that? Sure. Outside Syria, Yered Lekeach, a guy could go down to the orchard and buy Obavachele Yerana like it. He can buy fruit as long as he doesn't see the guy taking it from Arla trees. As long as he looks the other way and doesn't see where the guy's getting it from,
he can buy it.
So he says, and yet, the Ilui Gabi Kalayim, by Kalayim it says, Kerem Anatua Yerek, a vineyard that has greens planted in it. The Yorek Nimka Chutzla, and the vegetables are sold outside of the vineyard. In Eretz Yisrael, it's Asur. B'Suria, it's Mutter. B'Chutzla, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yered V'Loikit, you can go and pick again the same thing, as long as you don't do it with your hand. Meaning, you let somebody else pick it, and if you don't know where it's coming from. So he says to me, he says like this, according to me, that I say Arla, outside of Eretz Yisrael, is Halacha L'Meshim Sinai, meaning it's biblical. Now that didn't make sense in the other Mishnah. Doubtful Arla is forbidden. Right? Because it's Halacha L'Meshim Sinai. But according to you, and Kalayim is much more lenient. You can even go pick it. Okay? You can go pick it as long as he doesn't pick the ones that are mamish in the vineyard. But he can pick anyone that he wants. Because it's rabbinic, so it's a doubt, so we're lenient. Arla is stricter because it's biblical. Who says Arla is biblical? Me, because I say it's Halacha Meshem Sinai. Halacha Meshem Sinai means it's biblical. But according to you, that holds it's only tradition. So if Kalayim is Midrabanan, and Arla is Midrabanan, why is Safek Arla forbidden? It's only rabbinic, it should be allowed. It should be the same thing as Kalayim. And that's what he's finishing up. Elali didach, but according to you, Nista should say the same din of Kalayim and Arla it should say either Izev is a Yerid Velekeach. Each one should go down and buy from whatever they want. Or Izev is a Yerid Velekeach. Or both can go and gather. So the question is, according to me, there's a difference between Arla and Kalayim. Arla is Halacha Mishum Esin, it's biblical, it's stricter than Kalayim, which is rabbinic. But if you hold Arla is also Halacha, meaning it's just tradition, which is also rabbinic, why is there a difference between Arla and Kalayim? If it's the same rabbinic. So he answered him like this.
In terms of observance?
Yeah. So he says, but Gemara answers, Ha'amar lei Shmuel Ravanan, but you're right. Shmuel said to Ravanan, okay, which is the source of Rav Yudah's opinion, he says, in the Mishnah there's no difference. You make saying the Mishnah has a difference between Arla and Kalayim in the wording? He said the Mishnah is wrong. The wording of the Mishnah is wrong. It's either both Zev is a Yared V'lekech or Zev Yared V'lekech. In other words, Shmuel says the Mishnah is exactly the same din of Arla and Kalayim. So therefore they're both rabbinic, according to Shmuel. Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael is rabbinic. So therefore, if it's a doubt, you can pick it. Kalayim outside of Eretz Yisrael is rabbinic, you can pick it, if it's a doubt. But he holds, Rabbi Yechanan holds, Ula holds the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael is Halacha Moshe Mesinai. And therefore it's biblical status. Meanwhile, the word's not done with it. So therefore, the doubtful would be stricter.
So Rabbi Yechanan's position is just opposite of the Mishnah.
Of the Mishnah?
Because it's saying it's forbidden.
Yeah. Well, it's not opposite of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said...
Well, the last Mishnah that was revised, either they could both go down?
Oh yeah, that's Shmuel's opinion in the Mishnah. The Be'echon says that's not what the Mishnah says. The wording, they argue in the wording of the Mishnah. And that's why each one says what he says. Because they're arguing what the wording of the Mishnah is.
And our Mishnah, you were going to check.
No, I was looking at the Mishnah that they brought down before. But no, when they said the Lashon, just Arla is Halacha. The question is, does Halacha mean Halacha Meshe Mesinai is biblically forbidden? Or does it mean it's rabbinically forbidden? Kibbe Kalayim, it's much stricter. By Arla, it would be if it's a doubt, you can go take it. And that's the halacha like we said today. Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael is only rabbinic. And therefore, a doubt would be permissible. If it would be biblically forbidden, then you couldn't have a doubt that it would make it permissible.
So in these farms on the road, they give you a bucket, go pick whatever you want, should be careful? Or?
That's not, by what?
For greens.
No, by vegetable. No, the greens is only if I was together with the vines.
But we know that they shouldn't be too close to each other.
That's what the Gemara is going to talk about soon. The Gemara is going to discuss actually if it's a little separated, it's different than if you pick all of them together with one shot.
But for an archer, for fruit?
Fruit, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's a doubt. In fact, we'll soon see in the Gemara, the rabbis of the Gemara used to do shtick. You pick for me, I'll pick for you. I don't see what you pick what I pick, and we switch it. And now it's both doubts. You can eat yours, I can eat mine.
By Arla?
By Arla. It's the next piece of Gemara. No, in Chutz Laaretz. No, that's why he said, in Israel, when you look at Ashkocha, it says, Naki me Arla, Netaravai, you know, Shemitah. Take a look at the Israeli bottle of wine. Even a bottle of wine says it's free from Arla, because Arla you can't even benefit from. Right? So now it's a throw. That's why it's so funny. Like in America, kashrus wise, right? Fruits and vegetables are never a problem. Because I had the bugs. but beside the bugs. Fruits and vegetables are no problem. You go on each store and buy fruits and vegetables. And meat is the problem. And Eretz Yisrael is the reverse. There's a bigger problem with fruits and vegetables than there is with the meat. Meat, you go into a store, that's kosher, you know, you buy it. Here you need a special ashgacha that it's not orla, and it's not this, and it's not that, and, you know. It's complicated.
The lime, you don't have to list out in Eretz Yisrael, or anywhere? After someone has done it, that is...
No, but if you...
If it's already planted, yeah. Kilayim can be benefited from because it's a doubt.
In Eretz Yisrael, it's also, yeah.
Anywhere.
No, outside, if it's a doubt, in Eretz Yisrael, it's also, even if it's a doubt. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, if a doubt is permissible.
No, first let's clarify, it is a doubt, right? Kilayim.
No, kalayim does not mean a doubt. The doubt is it kalayim?
No, if something is in fact kalayim,
then it's osir.
It's osir. Chutz la'aretz?
We'll soon see. The Gemara is going to explain the sin. Wait a minute. The sin in chutz la'aretz to plant it, not to eat it.
Exactly. That's what we clarified last week. That you could benefit from it. You could have it.
Not klai akedem. Klai akedem means. And here the Gemara is talking about not wheat and vineyards. The Gemara here is talking about greens and vineyard. There's a difference between wheat and karen and karen and greens.
Yeah, last week we said that kilai karen and wheat, you can't have any benefit from.
Correct.
And even if someone else does it, you still can't have
Correct. Benefit.
But other types of kilayim,
you could use, you just can't plant it.
You can't just act of kilayim, grafting any other fruits.
You can't, but the word's going to get into all this now. You can't graft it, but you can eat what was grafted.
That's not even a doubt.
Right. Even if you know for sure it's grafted.
Right.
I mean, certain fruits you know for sure are grafted. You could eat them. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Another opinion, Marvid, the son of Ravna, says, I have a different opinion. That what? Zev is a yated v'leikit, in both cases, whether it's kalayim, whether it's arla, you can have a non-Jew, okay, can pick it for them, as long as the Jew doesn't pick it himself. That means, according to Ma'abed Ravana, he learns that the Mishnah is saying that if it's a doubtful Arla and Kalayim, you can have a guy pick it for you as long as you don't pick it yourself. Yeah. Out to the Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara says like this, Amar Levi l'Shmuel. So Levi said to Shmuel, Aryech. Aryech was Shmuel's nickname. Aryech, this is a famous thing that he brings down that one explanation, why was he called Aryeh? Because Aryeh was the king of Alasar. You know the four kings of the five kings? So Aryeh was one of the kings. And because Shmuel was the king in matters of financial law, so he was called the king. I'm the king.
So why did they choose
Aryeh? I'm the king. Huh?
They had a bunch of kings to choose from. Also.
Because it says Alasar, I don't know, whatever. That's what they call the Maryeh.
What does it mean that Chutzlaris it's a doubt? Kilayim is a doubt. What does that mean?
No, if you don't know if it's Kilayim or Orl or not.
You just said you could have benefit from it. We're talking about Kilayim? Stem Kilayim or wheat and Kerem?
Wheat, no.
What are you talking about?
Vineyard and green.
Is that any different?
It's not asavana. Only wheat and grapes are asavana.
Okay.
That's it.
So why did we say that if it's a doubt, you could benefit from it?
Because in Eretz Yisrael, you couldn't.
And if you go and picks it?
In Eretz Yisrael, also not.
And Chutz La'aretz, only if you go and picks it?
Outside of Eretz Yisrael, he says, a guy can go pick it for you.
Why can't you do it yourself?
Huh?
Why can't you do it yourself? You could benefit from it. You just can't plant it. Why do you have to send your yard? Unless he wants to be more strict than halacha.
Which one, right? Orla or Kilayim?
Is that one of the opinions? It's just an opinion that's not halacha? He wants to be more strict than the accepted halacha?
You can't pick it yourself, because if you go there, you see if it's Orla or not.
So you can have a guy pick it. So what?
When you send
it. No, if it's rabbinic and it's a doubt, you can even eat it.
You could even pick it yourself.
The question is,
no, he says you can't pick it yourself because then it's not a doubt anymore. Right. Then you know it's Arla.
Why does it have to be a doubt?
Because you don't know is this Arla or not.
I'm so sorry, I thought it's Quran.
You don't know if it's Arla or not.
Okay.
Then he says like this. Amale Levi Lishmol, Levi said to Shmuel, Aryeh, Sapakli. You know, whenever there's a, let's create a doubtful situation. You pick for me, I'll eat it, and I'll pick for you and you eat it. You know, you said to him, let's create doubts, and once it's a doubt,
it's all good.
The same thing the Gemara says. Or like he says, basically, he told them, do me a favor. Don't pick it in front of me. Then just bring it to me. Then when I take it, for me it's a doubt. Even though you might know for sure it's Arla, but if you don't tell me, then for me, as far as I'm concerned, it's a doubt. So I can eat it. The same thing, Rav Avi v'Rabbe Barachana, Misapku sapuke ladodi. They would create each other's situations of doubts. In other words, each picked Arla fruits. Okay, because again, the sin is not to pick Arla fruits, the sin is to eat Arla fruits. But if it's a doubt, then you're allowed to. So if I pick Arla fruits, and I give them to you, and I don't tell you they're Arla, you're allowed to eat them.
How would they know it's Arla anyway?
If they knew.
Like
if they don't know, b'chlal, you're not talking about
somebody's farm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Your own, maybe.
He says, listen, even if you know it's wrong, but if I don't know it's wrong, it's good.
Rabbi, quick question. There's another mitzvah that we're not supposed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Is this a lie?
It's not a stumbling block, because what's going on is, for him it's a doubt, he can eat it. Let me give you another example. Listen. Hello. There's a din like this. There's two roads. Okay? There's two roads. Now there's a din. Doubtful tumah in a public domain is pure. Doubtful tumah in a private domain is impure. Okay? That's the law. You have two roads. Both public domains. Here's a road. Here's a road. Yeah? There's a dead body in one of the roads, we don't know which one. But there's for sure a dead body in one of the roads.
Both public?
Yeah, both public domains. And there's a dead body buried in the road. Yeah?
Buried in the road.
Yeah. So there's tumah, right? Now, Reuven goes on this road, and Shimon goes on this road. Then they find out, Reuven and Shimon here, hey, there's a tumah somewhere over here. So Reuven comes to Beis Din and says, Beis Din, I went on first street and second street, and one of them have a dead body. I don't know the one that I walked if it's good or not. Beis Din says, oh, it's a doubt, you're pure. 5 minutes later, Shimon comes to Beis Din and says, Beis Din, I walked on second street, but there's a tumah either on first or on second street, and I walked on second street. Beis Din says to them, you're also tahar. The question, 1 minute. One is for sure tameh. By the way, the din is, what happens if they both come together?
They're both
tameh. No. If Reuven and Shimon come together to Beis Din, yeah, and they say, listen, Beis Din, I walked on first, he walked on second, Beis Din says, you're both tameh.
Tummy. Oh, I see.
You're both tummy. No, because over here it's a definite that one is tummy.
Together, right.
But if Reuven comes 5 minutes earlier, if they're smart, they should go separately to Beis Din. If Reuven comes to Beis Din, you're pure. Shimon comes, you're also pure. I'll give you another example. I'll give you another example of a crazy din. I have ten spoons in my drawer. And one of the spoons became treif. And now got mixed up with the other spoons. I don't know which spoon is treif. Okay? Can I use the spoons?
According
no, it's not 50-50.
According to what you were just talking, yes, you should be able to, but the
no, but the majority.
1 to 10.
Majority is kosher.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah? No. It's still, no, it's over here, it's still a dinner. Because when I take out a spoon, it's already potish. Okay, it's a good point, but the bottom is it's straight, right? Now, the question is, can I use only 9 of the spoons, or can I use all 10? One is for sure treif.
Or can you not use any?
One is for sure treif, correct? Yeah? That's the case. One spoon is treif. It got mixed up amongst all my other spoons. This, by the way, happens in people's kitchens. You had the shiksa, the housekeeper, somebody did something, and then the plate got mixed up amongst all the other plates. So this, right? Okay. So now the shaila is like this. Can I use every spoon I pick out? I'll be then I could use. Because what's the majority of the spoons? Kosher. But only one strafe. Yeah? Okay, so again, the question is, but now if I'm using all 10 spoons, one of them for sure is strafe. So can I only use 9, or can I use even the 10th? Why? But one is the shirt treif. So the halacha is that can shchunarich machlekes. But the halacha is machlekes in Yeridaya. The halacha is you can use all 10. One of his for sure treif. Each spoon that I look at, I say it came from the majority. This spoon came from the majority. 1, 2, number 10. All the it also came from the majority. What am I saying over here? Suffolk Arla, right? You can't say, but if for you it's a doubt, it's a doubt. And what's the din if it's a doubt? Then it's allowed. If it's a doubt, it's allowed.
Since we're talking about this, I heard one time that if you have 3 pieces of meat on the table and one of them is treif, you take one out or something like this. I heard.
Okay, that's a completely different case.
Okay,
that was a different din. So over here, that's the din of Safar Gola. So Levi says to Shmuel, listen, you go down and pick, don't tell me what you're picking. Just bring it to me to eat. And don't tell me where you picked. Okay? And then I'll eat it. And the same thing, Rav Avia and Rabbi Bar Chanan, Misapke Sipuka Ladodi. Here it doesn't mean Safik doubt. It means they gave each one. And then the Gemara says like this, there's even another lenient ruling of Arla. Ame Harifa de Pumpadisa, the smart scholars of Pumpadisa, who is Eifa Navimi, Rashi says, they said there's no din of oil in Chutzlaritz at all. They said, forget it, there's no existence of oil outside of Eretz Yisrael. Not by Allah al Mishnah Sinai, with the Mamish going against the Mishnah, by the way. But they said, nowadays, there's no oil at all. So the Gemara says, Shalcha Rav Yehuda l'kamid Rav Yechanan. So Rav Yehuda sent a shayla of Arla. Rav Yehuda lived in Bavel. Rav Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So it says, he asked him a shayla. Shalach Lehi sent him back. You know what? Sustain Sveika. Conceal the doubt. To conceal the law, he said, the doubtful Arla is permitted. The Abed Vador and destroyed definite Arla. Meaning, technically, Rabbi Yechon was very, very strict. He said, keep this law, you're right, that doubtful Arla and Chutzaritz is allowed, bury the law. Don't tell anybody that it's allowed. And not only that, Va'abid Vador and destroy definite Arla. Va'achariz al-Pirisayim and announce that for those people that are lax in the law of Orla, that their fruit has to be buried. And whoever says there's no din of Orla outside of Eretz Yisrael, like the guys in Pumbedisa said, he cursed them, and he said, it's a pasik. It's a pasik in Micha. But he says over there like this, he shall have no child or grandchild, that has a portion in the congregation of Hashem. So Rabbi Yechon was very strict, and he said that even outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have to be very strict, even a doubtful Orla. But now the Gemara is going to ask, the guys from Pumbedisa are mamish going against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Orla is halacha Mishnah Sinai. How could they say there's no Orla outside of Eretz Yisrael? So he says, Inu Kaman Svira, who does these guys hold that there's no Orla in the outside of Eretz Yisrael? He said, Ka'ad, the Tanya, they hold like a Braisa that says like this. The Belazar, a bunch of names. The Belazar of Rabbi Yasi says in the name of Rabbi Yasi ben Tumaska, that was his name, who said in the name of Rabbi Yasi Aglili, who said in the name of Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, who said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Agodl, who's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanis, Ein Arla b'chutz laretz. He said there is no din of Arla and chutz laretz, period. So the Gemara says, Lai, how could that be? For Tanan, we learned, Rabbi Eliezer himself says, Af ha-chadosh, that even chadosh exists outside of Eretz Yisrael, and definitely Arla. Because if he says, the Mishnah says about Arla, applies in chutz laretz, and then he says, Af chadosh, even chadosh applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, which means Arla for sure does. So how can you say Rabbi Eliezer argues against himself? So he says, no, Tani chadosh. It means not Af chadosh, chadosh exists outside of Eretz Yisrael, but not Arla. So we have a very interesting machlekes in the Gemara from one extreme to the next. One opinion says Arla and Chutz Laretz is biblical. One opinion says it's rabbinic. And one opinion says it doesn't exist. The halacha is it exists, but doubtful Arla is halacha. Okay, now the Gemara will just finish this up. Amar Rabbi Yechanan says like this. Arla b'chutz laretz, we quoted before, is halacha Meshem Sinai. Okay? So he says, if it's forbidden outside of Eretz Yisrael, so he said, Vatanya, but we learned in the Braise, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, in the Braise it says, Safek Arla b'aretz asur, the doubtful Arla in Eretz Yisrael is forbidden, in chutz laretz it's mutter. So if it's biblical, if you tell me it's halacha Meshem Sinai, that Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael is biblically forbidden, right? How could you say a doubt is permissible? If it's biblical, then a doubt should be stricter. Ishtemim kuchad shal chada. So Rav Asi
became quiet,
confounded for a moment. In other words, he had to think a little bit. And then he said like this, Amalei eima kach nemar. He says, this is what the halacha Meshem Sinai said. He said, you know what the halacha Meshem Sinai said is? That in Israel it's forbidden, even a doubt. Outside of Eretz Yisrael it's forbidden, but a doubt is allowed. The Gemara's question was, if it's biblically forbidden, halacha Meshem Sinai, so how could a doubt be allowed? Biblical doubts are forbidden. He says, no, this itself is what the halacha Meshem Sinai. The halacha Meshem Sinai said, that Arla is forbidden in Israel and outside of Israel, but in Israel a doubt is forbidden, outside of Eretz Yisrael it's, a doubt is permissible. So that's exactly what the halacha Meshem Sinai said.
This is a Kabbalah he learned?
Yeah, a Kabbalah. I mean,
I'm just saying, he said it from oral tradition, he didn't just think
he said
it up.
That, no, he didn't make it up.
Why did he pause?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you forget.
The question is that they're mentioning it, so something happened there. The fact that it's mentioning it, there must be something.
No, but the fact is, obviously, he knows that this was... he said, Rav Asi was not merely suggesting a possible solution. He was stating the matter with certainty.
Why did he pause?
He just thought about
it. He thought about it for a second. He said, you know, sometimes you attack somebody, and you say, hey, 1 minute, it's so simple, you know. But that, and by the way, that's the halacha. that itself is the halacha l'mashem Sinai. The halacha l'mashem Sinai says Arla is forbidden in and out of Eretz Yisrael.
What about the curse?
No, Rabbi Echanan, they disagree with Rabbi Echanan. They disagree completely with Rabbi Echanan. They interpret.
Does that nullify the curse?
No, Rabbi Echanan, when Rabbi Echanan said Allah Meshim Sinai, his understanding of it was biblically all over. And therefore, stop with the doubts. Conceal that, you know, people are getting too lax with it. But he says, this itself was Allah Meshim Sinai. That in Eretz Yisrael, doubt is forbidden. Out of Eretz Yisrael, doubt is permissible.
Oh, so the same one who said all this curse and stuff like that, he was the one who said that this is.
No, they didn't quote it from him, but...
It wasn't the same person.
It wasn't the same
person. No, not the same guy.
So what happens to a curse when a person issues a curse like this and then they disagree with it and stuff like that? What happens to the curse?
He doesn't disagree with himself.
I'm saying...
The halacha is not like him.
It's not like him.
No.
But Chadash, Ephraim...
So that means all the curse is not like
him?
That's another issue by itself. Yeah. In the Paskim, it goes into all things if everybody agrees with it. The Mishnah said, really... Tanan Hossam, Chodesh Hossam in Ateira B'chol Makam. Right? Okay, so. It's not so simple though.
Right.